our story opens in Corsica.
Buongiorno, what? Signor Scott.
Oh, is that you, Sergio? It's so dark in here.
It's me. Sit down.
Okay.
Take my card.
This is a joker.
Turn it over.
Oh, Sergio Violante, D-A-O?
Dottore Archeologico Torturo. I dig Eurotrash.
Hey, if I'd known that, we could have met at Dye's Gym or Fergie's Fish and Chips.
No, I like this place. I like the atmosphere. Leather, grease, sweat. It's me. It is me.
Yeah, it is. So, what can I bill you for, Sergio?
I want an introduzione to one of your clients.
Oh, no can do, Sergio. I mean, you couldn't pry open my client-lawyer relationships with a crowbar.
How about a gold bar?
That'll do it. Who do you want to meet?
Alex Afem.
Alex!
George, what are you doing up here?
I want you to meet an old friend of mine, Sergio Violante.
Of Corsica.
Con latte, signore. Any old friend of George's could be a new friend of mine.
Of Corsica.
Is that you or me?
It's you. I'm on vibrator.
I know. Scoff law. Oh, hi, Rosie. It's Roseanne. You changed the locks again? Why? He's sleeping with another network? Okay, I'll refile. Bill you later.
Sounds like you passed your bar exam.
Oh, it's on again, off again. I mean, she's a big client. I don't know how to charge her.
By the pound.
Oh, you're good.
Of course I am.
Well, I'll see you kids later. I gotta drive my wife, Marcy, to the airport. She's redecorating the state of Wyoming. Ciao!
No, I've eaten.
So, let's go down to the penthouse and talk.
Nice office. I feel strangely comfortable here.
Well, you should. It used to belong to a man. Paul Power. Did you ever hear of him?
No.
Good. So how much did you pay George Scoff to meet me?
Nothing.
You call a gold bar nothing?
The one I gave him? Yes.
Mr. Violante, what's your game?
Stud.
Ooh.
I'm looking for a new position.
Are there any?
I usually start at the bottom and work my way up.
Ooh. Ooh, you're obviously a first-class man, so I'll put you in the mail room.
This used to be my elevator, in my building. I've fired people on every one of these floors.
Sergio.
George, I mean, Giorgio.
I stopped off at the bank on the way to the airport to deposit that gold bar.
Oh.
They were not overly impressed with its quality. In fact, the vice president is using it as a doorstop.
Ah, for the man who has everything.
Oh, basta on the pasta, Paul.
Okay, George, okay. I knew I couldn't fool you for long.
Now listen, the last time you were sighted, it was on Skid Drive in Beverly Hills, soliciting cellular phone calls from teenagers. What's the scam?
George, I'm pulling off the biggest comeback since Sherry Lewis, Marivaux, Meatloaf, and Kurt Waldheim. And I'm going to do it as Sergio Violante in the mailroom.
The mailroom? That's a dead end. It's in the basement. It's ethnically diverse.
The perfect place to bury Alex Femme. Want to help?
Bury her? Have you forgotten, buddy? I still love her. What's in it for me?
More money in a day than Barry the Killer Diller makes in 6 months from his shopping channel.
QVC?
QED. Look, George, I know how you feel about Alex Femme. She's beautiful, she's powerful, and she's been your mistress for almost a year now.
Yeah. Anytime now, I could be walking down that aisle towards that judge in a super pricey palimony suit.
So, Pally, what do you say?
Ah, Mr. Violante. Ms. Femme said to start you over there with Mohammed, washing off canceled stamps for recycling.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, is this something's the matter, George?
No, Sergio. Let me introduce you to your new boss, Singha Long.
Ah, welcome, you are welcome. Pleased to meet your frequency.
On the veranda is a bearded man in glasses conducting a small choir.
Hooray! Meanwhile, high in the Swiss Alps, two elderly Scotchmen munch on a rare cheese.
Wonderful stuff, this, Agnes.
Aye, it's wonderful stuff.
I'm standing in the entrance to the main tent. Immediately behind me, the festivities have already begun.
Tell me, are you enjoying the wine?
I am indeed, Your Highness. Fares well with me.
Yeah, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, isn't that Dixie?
Yeah.
Isn't that Buddy DeMort over at table five?
Oh, it sure is. And who's that with him?
Well, last show he was on with, Virtual Davis Jr. He's the agent of the dead,
oh,
you know.
Yeah.
He has dead clients. Isn't that the big man with him, Orson Welles?
Oh, my gosh, it is. It's Citizen Kane.
Let's go over and listen.
Orson, I can't afford to give you another Jeroboam of this Chablis. I mean, stuff's going right through you like, well, it's going right through you. I mean,
everything goes right through me anymore, buddy. It's...
Okay, Orson, it's wonderful to see you kind of again. But I have to tell you...
If you turn this little table light just a little bit, I come in much better.
You're like a hologram. It's astonishing. And I mean a hologram. And you were once really big in the business. There's no denying it, Orson.
I was the biggest.
I know. But me, Buddy DeMort, 5-star Hopeless Productions. I used to represent all of the great dead people. The fact is, I've gone virtual. I'm hardly ever signing up any more real dead people.
Buddy, I worked up... I improved my magic act just for you.
Well, obviously, or you wouldn't be here. You've incorporated in a magnificent way.
It wasn't easy.
What were you doing in the other world?
Well, I finally finished Ambison's.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Well, you can't. Not yet.
Oh.
You're still alive.
Oh.
But it'll be there when you arrive.
I see.
Don't
you
worry.
Lost your awesome sense of humor, Orson.
Hi.
Hi.
Have I?
Hi. You're Bernie Fliskin Bernie.
Hey, sweetheart. How are you, dollface?
Oh.
Good to see you.
Good to see
you're
you here in
beautiful.
Hollywood.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, work in Hollywood now. Left Hell's Kitchen.
You know, I think there must be some kind of special going on here tonight. You know, I must be giving away food because there's agents all over the place.
Oh, yeah, we're working. Hey, just John Lennon. How are you?
Hello.
Oh, John Lennon. Bernie.
Cup of tea, please.
Oh, coming right up, Mr. Lennon. Bernie.
Want something to eat, sweetheart? What do you got there?
Oh, I got plenty of specials for you, Bern. But before I take your order, you know what?
What?
Buddy DeMort and Citizen Kane are right over there.
What?
I swear to
Buddy
you.
Buddy DeMort?
I swear
Don't
I'm...
tell him I'm here.
Where is he? He's over
no,
there.
No, he's not. Don't tell him I'm here. Let's eat, John. Let's
All right,
eat.
Listen, Bernie.
What?
You really botched that 10th anniversary thing. The anniversary of my untimely demise. Not to mention my introduction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And now the others are back in the studio, and I'm left here hanging in bloody purgatory. I want out of this contract.
Sweetheart, listen. First, there's two realities here about this, okay?
I understand that.
First one is, I signed you. When I signed you,
yeah.
I signed you to a perpetuity plus clause. You know what that means,
yeah,
sweetheart?
Yeah, I do. But
in the event of death, I have exclusive rights to every seance appearance you come in on.
I mean, look how well Elvis is doing, you know, after his untimely demise.
I held him back for 10 years at Burger King before I brought him
the
out.
The only place I ever appear is this bloody diner.
You want a stamp? I'd give you a postage stamp if you hold back and play it my way, sweetheart.
I want to get back in the studio.
You shouldn't be
pushing
me like
this, Paul's going to take credit for all my songs.
Don't push. I'll get you in there. By the way, Mr. Lennon, you're not the hottest dead rock star anymore. You're no Kurt Cobain, okay? So
yeah,
back
right.
off, sweetheart. What's to eat, Dixie?
Well, Byrne, we got a few things happening here for you. We got fresh finger rolls direct from the NBA Finals.
Fabulous.
How about half-baked media cakes?
What's the special?
We got Boutros Ghali, mahi-mahi, and twice-cooked beef.
I don't think so.
Excuse me just a second. Bernie, hi. Nice to see you.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, have you met my late friend Orson over here?
Hello, Bernie.
Orson, why don't you come over and join us here?
Good work.
I love my work, too.
Can we pull up another booth for Orson?
I'll make a lot of room for you boys.
Orson, slip in here next to Bernie.
Aren't you John Lennon?
Yes, I am.
I remember you.
Thanks very much.
You were delightful.
You're Orson Welles.
I loved you and how I won the war.
Oh, thanks very much. I won the war. I love your former song commercials.
You're not moving into my territory.
I
just like all to talk to the fellow.
All that free wine.
Yeah, he's my Beatle, okay? He's my Beatle.
I was drunk right now.
I'm not sure when not.
Nick Danger Third Eye is brought to you today by Vino Brothers.
Hey, just because you're out drinking with your friends on the stoop doesn't mean you have to be one. Step up to the many tastes of Vino Brothers wine. There's Vino White, it's dry. Add water, it's wet. Add sugar, it's a fine sherry. Add ketchup and blow in the bottle, it's a sparkling rosé. Vino Brothers, W-I-N-O-B-R-O-S. Look for the bottle shaped like a paper bag.
My king seems to be enjoying himself tonight.
Yet I've not seen him on such good form since the October festival.
Same time as this, in the captain's mess on board HMS Tremendous, a toast is being proposed.
To Her Majesty!
To Her Majesty!
Podgy the Bear and Jasper were huddled around the unlit fire in the center of the room.
There are no more matches left, Podgy,
said Jasper.
Then buy some, Jasper, old friend,
said Podgy.
Make a list, and afterwards we'll go to the shop and buy matches and candles and buns.
There's no more paper to write on, Podgy.
No need to worry, Jasper. You keep saying to yourself matches, and I'll keep saying candles until we reach the shop. Then we won't need to write it down. We'll remember.
We'll remember the buns, Podgy.
We both will, Jasper. Matches.
Candles.
Matches.
Candles.
Matches.
Candles.
Matches.
Candles.
Matches. In the long dark corridors of Felpin Mansions, a door slams. And the shadowy figure of Count Balder appears. The Count is the eccentric son of Baron Landsberg, the inventor of the rack. He speaks.
Guten Tag, meine Damen und Herren. Welcome to Felpin Mansions. Butler will show you to your rooms. Butler!
Yes, sir?
Show the ladies and gentlemen to their rooms.
Yes, sir. Come this way, please.
Come in.
May I come in?
Come in, Count.
May I?
Oh, yes, come in.
Ah, thank you. I was wondering if you knew any of the songs from the good old days.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, don't you worry on that score. I hear the Baron likes, I hear the Baron likes the good old tunes.
Yes, I do.
So do I, Count. So do I. Well, they're all melody, aren't they? No, don't you worry, I'll play him this one. He liked this one. Is it? Listen to this one. Please don't bring your banjo back. I know where it's been. I wasn't hardly gone a day when it became the scene. Banjos, banjos, all the time. I can't forget that tune. And if I ever see another banjo, I'm going out to buy a big balloon.
And there could be other animals have secret things they're good at, like tigers might be good with banjos. But no one's thrown a banjo to a tiger. Bang, 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 bang. Bang 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 bang. Ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding.
In my latest book, Everything You Wanted to Know About Electricity and How to Get a Big Charge Out of It, I clearly demonstrate with carefully retouched, researched photography, that the first truly wireless civilization in the world was the ancient Druids of India.
Wow.
Last year, with the aid of a shadow engrantment, I personally oversaw a secret excavation team which investigated the inexplicable discovery of hundreds of druidic mounds consisting entirely of decomposed dry cell batteries rusting in relative silence for over 200,000 years.
That's very hard to believe.
I bet Ray's granddaughter believes it.
From these battery mounds located in the vast Plain del Beljars...
Plenty of jam jars, baby.
Near Plath outside Katkandu came myriads of artifacts, but not one scrap, trace, shred, or fragment of wires. Thus, I proved inconclusively that prehistoric druidic India was the first wireless society, batteries not included.
Well, how ironic it is that this secret...
Yeah, like so many ancient secrets of the ancients, Hal.
Yes, should be delayed for so many centuries.
Like a U.S. plus bonus check in my mouth or in the mail.
Yes, well, forcing the endless pre-industrial invasion...
What's up, man?
I've lost my place.
Well, all right, let me take over.
Come on it.
Hey, I think we're talking about the invention of the wire.
Oh, yes, wire.
So let's take a look at that prehistoric film the AV squad spent all last week making right now.
This is George Tirebiter saying, welcome to Why Are We Here and Why Are We Here? Well, it's July 12th, 1843, in the insufferably swampy and inextricably stuffy Supreme Court chambers in Washington, D.C.
Is this the day we get to declare an undeclared war?
Take the senator away. He knows too much. No, no, we're here about wire. The first transmission by wire from Baltimore, Maryland. Directly from the talented fingers of Samuel F.B. Morose.
Morose, that's me, and I'm still waiting.
An inventor so poor he has to wait until nitrates apply before sending his prehistoric message. And here's Chief Justice Rechberg now.
Gentlemen. by a jiggered vote of 7-2.
That's a good score.
7-2. This court decides in favor of declaring the time to be after 6 o'clock. Night rates now apply.
Well, and the message should be coming in directly. Yes, it's coming through clear as a bell jar.
Plenty of jam jars for you.
What does it say?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Chief Justice Rechberg, sir. It says,
Dr. Morose, can you give us, Justices, your interpretation of the meaning, if any, of this so-called message?
Well, wait a minute. Mr. Chief Justice, I will. That's my job, because it's my invention. This here is a telegraph message, see? I've spent whole 20 days down home in Arugula County interpreting such as these here random holes. Punched in a piece of paper such as this, and these here are embarrassingly pregnant with meaning, if you get my meaning, clear as a bell jargon.
I've heard that joke. Get on with it.
The jam jars for you. The jam jars, baby.
Well, I'm Dash, and all this message could be about Dash. On the other hand, it could be about Dot, remember her, or it could be about Dish and Dat.
Well, that's good enough for this court. How about 5-4? You like the odds?
7-9.
Half past six.
Recess. Thank
you. Indeed, dear friends, the message was about Dash and Dot. And what did those dots rock? The call of progress.
Yellow.
Yellow? That's a color. That's a silly way to answer my new invention. You have to say, who's there?
All righty then, boss. Who's there?
Where? Oh, you mean me? Well, this is Alexander Graham Crackerback Jocks Acme here. I'm the inventor of the phone company.
Oh, this is Watson.
And, what can I do for you?
Well, I don't really know, Mr. Acme. You're the only person I can call.
That's right. Because I have the only other phone. Monopoly. Wait a minute, I called you!
Oh, thank God. Because you see, Acme...
Thank grid.
I've stumbled across the most frightful conspiracy.
Oh, let's get you drunk.
A plot to ensnare the world in wiles and poles.
Sounds good.
To fill the homes of rich and poor alike with constant ringing noises.
Is there money in it?
To allow men to talk freely with naked women and then...
Only imagine it.
Sounds like a killer app to me.
And worst of all.
What's that? That's good.
To charge outrageous sums of money plus tax while cutting off service to pathetic old people freezing to death in their homes.
Holy mammon!
Holmes! Holmes! Do you hear me?
Sorry, Watson, old boy, but you've got the first wrong number in history, and George Bush is the second! What he doesn't know is, I could fill another book, that money is the only, is only the beginning. Wait until people have a phone in every shoe, a phone in every bowler hat, and one of Tommy Edison's cylinder recorder things to record the phone, and a nasty electric buzzer in your sock to let you know your phone is ringing, and your cat is having kittens in your other shoe.
Doodly 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 doodly.
So there you are, baby, with telephone in hand. People all over the world pretty quickly paired themselves off to talk to each other.
Sex money.
Okay, wasn't that interesting? But it's just what guys like to talk about. Okay, let's move this story along at a more now tempo. Meanwhile, you love that, huh?
Yeah, meanwhile, I like
that smarty pantser German psychiatrist Heinrich Mega Herzl, alone on his own in Cologne, was taking a snifter of the all-pervading ether, and he, no surprise, my little dudes, he had what you might call a vision.
Well, it was a ganz strange-like vision of this electric wave undulating relentlessly along limpid, invisible molecular highways of oscillating, shimmering electromagnetic force fields. That was
all
good
right, we'll call it enduring all right force fields. But he also saw the little guys in the melty hats.
Uh-oh.
Plus, he saw the last three episodes of Mork and Mindy.
Those were good.
Soon, however, news of Megaherzl's radiophonic analysis spread far and wide. And on America's eastern coast, the image of surfing on undulating electromagnetic waves had a particular appeal for a bored yet sandy-haired young college student at Yale College named Tree DeForest.
Well, that surfing image would lead DeForest eventually to really clean up Ray when he invented a primitive form of the vacuum cleaner.
No, Hal, that was Hoover.
Wait a minute. He was president.
DeForest invented the vacuum tube.
No, Ray. Actually, the Supreme Court invented the vacuum tube.
72!
And they gave it to Tree DeForest, who, although he had invented the schematic diagram of a vacuum tube, couldn't plug it into anything.
He got his mitts on the plug of power, that a dial of destiny, that fuse of doom, hey, the dude knew what to do with it.
Oh, really?
What?
Easy. Just light up that little red sign, the one up there over the door that says we are
on the air.
Hello, America. This is Jackson Lane, the honey sweet voice of station KYKY in Vaseline, New Jersey. I'm your modern studio, one full floor above Machiavelli's Hardware at the busy intersection of Darwin and Fish. We bring you the tenor tones of Lurch Murphy and the boys of County Belljar.
Plenty of jam jars for you.
Eyes are smiling, sure it means the pumps are old. And when Irish stout is flowing, there's ever a cause for hope.
Decommission now!
At last, it was 1921, and America was on the air.
You're on the air!
There was only one problem with being on the air.
What?
You're on, you have to stay on and on and on and on, hour after day.
24-7!
Week after week, day, month after month, year after year.
Snap out of it! Sorry.
All right. Okay. And all of it was live!
Oh, no.
I mean live. All of it was live.
And how old are you?
32. I am.
Get away.
I am.
Well, what prize have you got your eyes on?
I have.
Ooh. Well, you've just won a trip to Denver and five others.
This is Carolyn Presky. You've sold out. Now let's see just what you bought on this, your third day on Hawaiian Sellout. Bob, What's Miss Presky's heap so far?
Right, Jack. So far, a complete broken set of color bars for Mrs. B's new home, some leveled mountain skis and water rollers for that fun-filled open season, an unattached Grid 5 stand-up reheater with a smoke window, and now...
300 full pounds of Chef Antoine Southern Fried Glimpse, toasted to golden perfection, cubed, reheated, and returned to water before you're ready, Miss B. And the inside, well, look at that. It's just as lovely. Two shelves where none are needed. And look at that. Close the door and the light stays on. Well, how do you feel, Miss Presky?
Sick.
Ah, well, you can afford it now, love. But like the good book says, there are bigger deals to come.
Oh, thank you.
And also, wait for it, you have been elected as independent candidate for Paddington.
Oh!
Look after yourself.
I'd in any way want to put myself into a confrontatory position, either with the United Snakes or with them. And you can believe me, because I never lie, and I'm always right. So wake up and take a look at your only logical choice. Me, George Tirebiter.
Paid for by the Tirebiter for Political Solutions Committee, Sector R.
Get Wunderlust for your trousers. Get Wunderlust for your hair.
Theatre Hour is brought to you tonight from the arms of someone new.
Hello, I'm speaking from a call box.
Hello? Hello, operator? Hello, operator? I've been cut off. I've been... Hello, it's an emergency.
How old are you?
32.
Well, you've won a prize. Get off the show!
They'd like to thank you for a wonderful year.
We'd like to thank you for a wonderful year.
Thank you for a wonderful year.
Carry on.
Look out for yourself. Come in.
When Christmas time is over and your bonny clay is through, I'll be bristling to you people. All the best from me. When the beastie brangle mutton to the heather in Little Lane, I'll be strutting out my tether to your arms once back again. Look away.